there's anything that you want to look up further. And you also have a doodle sheet. Now, you guys, don't try to tell me you don't doodle during the service, okay? Because I see it happening. Y'all want to look like you're doing notes, but sometimes I know. All right, so I got you a little doodle sheet. Can anybody tell me what that is? Go ahead and take a look. Not what is the picture, but what is the actual exercise? Connect the dots, exactly. And this is kind of it's going to be a little bit of part of the lesson, because we learn things from an exercise like this. What's beside every one of the dots? There's a number. Okay, are those numbers important? The numbers are important, right? So what happens if you don't follow from number to number? You make a mess. You're not going to get the true picture, right? What happens if you only look at one or two of the dots and you don't pay any attention to any of the rest? You don't get the full picture, do you? No, it won't work. And so whenever you get done with this full picture, you're gonna see something about Jesus, a point in time in his earthly experience here. And I'll just give you a little hint. Whenever you get done, you'll see a picture of kind of like Jesus ascending. And this is a picture of the ascension of Jesus. And so the reason why I decided to put a little connect the dots in there for you is because I want to illustrate a point. You don't get the full picture until it's complete. You don't get the full picture until all the dots are connected. And there's something about life. We only get to see a few of the dots at a time, right? Sometimes maybe only one. So we're not seeing the whole full picture, but we serve a powerful God. And our powerful God is always at work. And guess what our powerful God is? He's the one that's connecting all the dots. He's got the whole picture. He sees the whole deal, guys. He sees from beginning to end, and he knows it. And so even though we can only see little parts of it, and eventually, if we do it right, if we follow from dot to dot, I did this exercise on my own as I studied back there in my office. I know it's hard for you to believe. And do you know, I actually got one of the numbers wrong, and it just threw everything off. So what we want to do is we want to follow God, because he's got all the numbers right. He's got the whole deal figured out. And in fact, he gives us his power to follow along with him. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Favorite accounts that we're going to be looking at today from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. I love this. We've been studying about the power of God displayed through the Holy Spirit of God. It's like synonymous. The power of God is literally the Holy Spirit in us. And we see how the power of God has brought about understanding. The power of God has brought about salvation in people's lives. The power of God's healed people. The power of God's convicted people. The power of God has literally done at times a cleansing through his body. The power of God. Now we're going to see how the power of God literally cares about each individual soul today. As we look at this story from Acts chapter 8, you can go ahead and open up your Bibles. We're going to kind of follow through. Some of it will be up on the board. You can kind of follow along there as well. But what we see here is Philip is one of the first deacons that were chosen, one of the first servants. He was a man that was filled with the Spirit. We had him, and another one was Stephen. And when Stephen preached, we saw that the power of God moved in people's hearts. And it didn't always cause the same effect in everybody. For some, rather than responding to the conviction in a good way, they killed Stephen. Okay, but we know that the power of God kept him in his perfect hand and just transported him right before the throne. In fact, Stephen saw something none of us have ever seen. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father to receive him, to show him his pleasure. Now we got Philip, who was also chosen, and after this attack on Stephen and there was a persecution that arose in Jerusalem, then it finally scattered the disciples, the apostles, to go out and do what they were told to do back in Acts chapter 1:8, and that was to go out and be witnesses, and to be witnesses first in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, right? And then to the other parts of the earth. And so they're finally making it out to Samaria. Now, the Samaritans were the despised people. We talked about this last week. Okay, the Jews didn't like the Samaritans. They were a divided kingdom, and the Samaritans started a type of idolatry that was horrible. And Jeroboam started it, and if you look at throughout the Old Testament, you'll find that spoken of whenever it speaks of the kings, and they followed in the sin of Jeroboam. It was a terrible thing. He set up calves to worship, and so they became the despised people, and in fact, most Jews wouldn't even pass through their city there in Samaria. But whenever the persecution arose, it forced those apostles into that area. And guess what? Whenever they began to preach the gospel, the power of God began to save the Samaritans. Began to save. Do you know the power of God can save anyone? Amen? There's nobody exempted from salvation through the power of God. And so we've got Philip, and he's here. And I mean, people are getting saved left and right. And then the power of God speaks to Philip through the Holy Spirit. And he actually sends an angel to speak to him in verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." What do y'all know about the desert? It's hot, dry. Not many people, right? Do you have one too? Doesn't sound like a very hospitable place. Is there that whole word dry is going to mean something as we look at this story as well, because I can tell you the power of God will even supply all of our needs in a desert. Amen. God can do amazing things whenever we trust him. But we see that this angel spoke to Philip, and he said, "Arise, leave this great revival that's going on here and go down to this place in the desert." And we just said that in deserts, usually it's not very highly populated. Okay. So I can see where Philip in his mind and in his heart and his flesh might have wanted to argue with God and say, "Hey, wait a minute. We got good things going on here. This revival is really happening. This awakening, you know, I shouldn't leave." But what we find is, guys, it's not for us to be the ones to tell God what is reasonable and what is right. It's for us to listen as his children and just do what he says. God's got it figured out. God's going to teach us something here through this event, that he cares about each individual soul. So, verse 27, "So he arose and went." Immediate obedience. Do I get an amen to that? Amen. I think we find, like, God's picture coming together. He's connecting dots right now, and they're numbered. And it's going to create an amazing picture. But part of the deal is Philip's got to obey. And in fact, obedience tomorrow wasn't going to help out. You ever know God's a God of timing as well? God is an amazing God of timing. I can tell you, last night, I really did not want to go to Walmart. You guys like my Walmart stories, don't you? I did not want to go to Walmart last night. I just didn't want to go. I hate going into Walmart. One of these days, they're going to sue me for preaching against them and putting it on the internet. But anyway, you know, you go in there, and I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I always wind up buying more than what I went in there for because I got all these choices. But we were going to get this movie because we were going to watch a movie with some friends. And we went by Dollar General first because Dollar General's a little simpler. You know, they got less choices. You go in there, you can get out quicker. All right? Well, guess what? They didn't have the movie we were looking for. So we went over to Walmart. And, you know, we think all this stuff's happening by chance, right? Well, the timing at Walmart was amazing. That's like the best place in the world to go do visitation, so to speak, all right? If you're a pastor, you want to do visitation, or you're part of the visitation team, or you're a Christian that really wants to meet some new people, go to Walmart, okay? I'll quit bad-mouthing them so much one of these days. But we wind up at Walmart. We don't even get across the parking lot, and we see some people that we knew. We had an opportunity to minister. I got inside. I saw a person I have been thinking for weeks I need to go and see. Bam, right there. Had an awesome opportunity to talk and pray with somebody. While I'm talking to them, another person comes up to me and recognizes me. Had a wonderful meeting there. I even got to correct a couple of young girls back by the movies that were talking really naughty, and they knew they shouldn't be. So I'm telling you, the timing on this thing was perfect. And you see, I thought it was all by chance. But really, I was just being obedient to what we had already been called to do, and God directed our steps. And so what I'm saying is, as we go along this thing called life and we obey God one thing at a time, God directs our steps and the timing is perfect. Please don't delay when God calls you. So he arose and went. Back to verse 27. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury. This is an important guy. And had come to Jerusalem to worship. Okay, guys, here's the deal. Next slide. God controls the timing. We need to stay in step with God because he's got things worked out we could have never imagined. It would have been easy to argue with God had you been Philip and said, man, the desert's a lonely place. Who in the world am I going to witness to out there? But I'm telling you, God already had it figured out, and the timing was going to be perfect. In fact, God will help you catch up, too, because whenever he shows up, this guy's, he's returning back to Ethiopia. Where is Ethiopia? Can anybody tell me what continent is that in? It's in Africa. Yeah. So do you think God had a plan to take the gospel to Africa? I do believe he did. And as he had a plan to take the gospel to Africa, he had a messenger to take the gospel to Africa, but this messenger had not yet come to Christ. A little problem in that plan. But you see, it wasn't a problem for God because he had an evangelist who was filled with the power of God who he was sending to the spot. And the timing was so amazing that he had this guy. Let's read the rest of this. I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 28. So this guy was returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Wow. God was even controlling the timing of his reading of the word. So he was returning from a great spiritual experience, and he's in Isaiah the prophet, and he's wondering, what's all this stuff about? And then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him. I want you to picture this now. He's like running after this chariot out in the middle of the desert. Guys, now this would have looked a little strange. This is going to bring a little attention to yourself, amen? How many of you guys like to just kind of blend in? You don't really like the attention on yourself, right? Okay, but the thing of it is, guys, to obey God is where we find the blessing. So he goes near to overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and this is what he says. Do you understand what you're reading? I'm going to tell you, questions are the best way to present the gospel. Start out with a question. I think that God's word's teaching us something here. Rather than trying to tell them how much we know, let's find out how much they know first. Let them have a chance to talk to us. So he says, do you understand what you're reading? Listen to what verse 31. And he said, the eunuch says, how can I unless someone guides me? And he said, and he asked Philip to come up and sit with them. He got the invitation right there. Guys, I'm going to tell you, God is God of timing. Amen. We see it right here in the scripture. Do you think God has timing like that, that he wants to involve you in? Oh, I'm going to tell you, there's no chance meeting with God. Everything is providential in his eyes. And so we just need to be obedient. We need to be bold because we have the Holy Spirit in us. We need to be willing to be put out a little bit. We need to be willing to even be put in a position where it might feel a little uncomfortable. Get out of our comfort zones a little bit. But you see, guys, here's the deal. If God sent us, he's already working on that person. And he's already working on this Ethiopian man. In fact, he's sitting there reading the book of Isaiah, and he's trying to figure out what in the world all this means. And he's looking for somebody to guide him. Wow. Next slide. The power of God gives us wisdom. How many of you guys are afraid to talk to somebody about Jesus because you're afraid that you won't have the right words to say? You ever feel like that? Maybe you read the Bible every day and you're still just a little bit afraid that if you had to explain it to somebody, you wouldn't know for sure what to say. Do you know God is able to help you? He's able to give you wisdom right there on the spot. If you are truly surrendered to him and you have allowed yourself to be somewhat prepared with the word of God, God is able to put the right words into your mind at the right time to help answer their questions. He's the one who gives the wisdom. Let's continue on in our reading there. Verse 32, the place in the scripture which he read was, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. So the eunuch asked Philip and said, or answered Philip and said, I asked you, of whom does this prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. God is able. You are not. I'm not going to tell any of you that you're adequate enough in and of yourself. I am not. You are not. None of us are. So if it was left up to us, we couldn't do it. But here's the deal. If we go with God, he can. And all we need to do is obey. That whole scripture that he was reading, in fact, you can find Jesus throughout the Old Testament because it's all written really about Jesus. It's all about the fact that we got a problem and God's going to, he was the one who was going to solve it. And now in the New Testament, he has solved it and it's pointing back to show us how. And so anywhere you go in that scripture, you can find images of the salvation by grace through faith. And so looking at the next slide, the power of God also provides water in the desert for a heart longing for baptism. So you might be thinking, okay, even if this person wants to get saved, you know, what about all the other details? Guys, where were they? They were in the desert, right? Remember that. Keep that in mind, and we're going to see that the power of God is able to supply all needs. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. Wait a minute. They came to some water. They're in the desert. God provided the water there, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. We learn something about baptism there, don't we? It's a believer's baptism. That's the type of baptism that God recognizes. I know many people in our community raised up in another denomination where a lot of times they did infant baptism, and a lot of times I'll run across people who then come to faith later on in life. And they'll say, well, I was baptized once. I don't remember it. I was just a baby, and it was done to me. But, you know, was that really adequate? Not really. Really, we need to be baptized as a believer. I've known other people that grew up in Baptist churches who maybe went to a revival, and they saw other people going forward, and they didn't want to be the only one not to go forward. And they went forward, and they said a prayer with somebody. But really, they had not really given their heart to Jesus at that point. And they got baptized. Guess what they did? That wasn't really part of their salvation experience. They got wet is all they did. They took a bath in front of people. And there's a lot of people that fit in that category. We need to rethink this thing because our example from Scripture is, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Do I get an amen? All right. If you believe with all your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that don't mean if you're totally mature in the faith. That isn't what it's saying. If you believe, if you have faith, if it's saving faith, if you truly have placed your faith in Jesus, then, and only then, do you need to be baptized. If your baptism didn't look like that, then you may need to come see me at the end of the service. It's okay. Don't be ashamed of it, because we've had many opportunities to help people get right with the Lord in this area. Does this save you? No. This Ethiopian guy was already saved at this point because he had placed his faith in Jesus Christ. But is it an important step of your faith? Absolutely. How can you expect to move on to the next step if you haven't really obeyed God on this step? So I think we need to obey God. I think we need to do what he says. And guess what? Just like water in the desert, he'll provide for all the details necessary. Amen? You know those family members who maybe you feel like wouldn't understand? It may be the best witness in the world to them. He'll even work out those details. Did you ever experience that? I have. Those parents, the other family members who wouldn't understand what's happening in your faith, later on when they see you living it out faithful, they may actually come along and follow. Amen? So as he saw this water, God provided it. Now Philip instructs, if you believe with all your heart, you may, verse 37. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe he's the Messiah? He is the Christ. He did die on that cross for your sins. And that payment was enough. And it's paid in full. If you believe that, say amen. Do you believe that he rose again on the third day from the dead? Do you believe that 40 days later he went back to heaven? He's at the right hand of the Father right now. All right, then you believe what you need to believe to walk forward with him in newness of life and in salvation. And let me tell you something, guys, here's the deal. You truly believe that with all your heart. Don't look back. Keep going forward because you've got the power of God to overcome. Amen? All the way to the end and even unto heaven, but every detail in between, even water in a desert, if that's what you need. So he commanded the chariot to sit still, verse 38, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. Start that walk of discipleship by taking that step of faith. That one step is where that journey starts. And now we can also know another one. The power of God can transport his servant wherever they need to be. Guys, look what happens next. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went about his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus. In passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Guys, here's the deal. God will get you where you need to be. All you need to do is be faithful and believe and trust. Here he like teleports him. I've heard a lot of discussion about this. Well, this proves teleportation can happen. Guys, in God's economy, there's nothing that's a challenge to him. For us, it may be that we really feel called to go to a certain place at a certain time, and we're just wondering how in the world that we could ever afford the trip, and God can just provide the money for the plane ticket too. He may provide the time off you need from work so that you can go visit that relative who's sick in another place, but you know they need to hear the message of the gospel before it's too late. Maybe he's called you to whatever, just to go across the street to the neighbor's house and knock on the door, and you're wondering how all those details are going to work out. Guys, God can get you there. Do I get an amen? He can get you there. He is able, and he's got the power. So, last question here, last slide. What is it that unleashed the power of God here? Because I want to know I got it whenever I get there, amen? Well, the first part is, Philip was living a surrendered life. He was surrendered to the Holy Spirit. He was looking for the direction from God, and he was willing to immediately obey him. Do I get an amen to that? How many of you all might struggle like I do with immediate obedience sometimes? A lot of times I'll say, well, let me think about it. Well, maybe tomorrow. Well, guys, I'll tell you, sometimes we may not have tomorrow to do it. We really just need to be willing to say yes. That was what we were supposed to have said the day we got saved. Amen? Yes. Another thing we see there is that Philip also had a desire to evangelize. Do you want to see people saved? I'm going to tell you something, guys. If you're saved, if you're truly saved, you're going to want to see other people saved. And so, okay, I guess I'm going to get a little bit rough here. If you don't really care if your neighbor goes to hell, then there might be something wrong with your salvation. I'm going to go ahead and bring it to a conclusion because, guys, I think we need to look inside on this one. I can tell you, I'd reached a point in my walk with the Lord that I'd gotten kind of sour, and I wasn't so worried about other people like I should or concerned. I guess I should say, I asked God to look at my heart. There had to be something wrong. If I knew hell was real and I didn't care if that other person went there, there's something wrong with my heart. And so I'm just going to say, I asked Jesus one day, I said, Jesus, help me to see the lost like you see them. And I went to Sri Lanka because he called me to, and I said yes, and guess what? He provided the plane ticket, and it was an expensive one. He provided $3,500 that I didn't have before so that I could get there, and because I needed to be there. And I'm going to tell you something. While I was there, he gave me his heart. He showed me his heart for the lost. I cried for hours that day. Couldn't stop. I thought maybe I'd lost my mind for a minute. And I asked him, I said, God, what is wrong with me? Everywhere I looked, I could just see people's lostness, and it just broke my heart. And he said, didn't you ask me to show you my heart for the lost? I'm going to tell you, I hope I never lose that. I hope I never get callous again. I hope whenever I look at people, I can see people the way Jesus sees people. And I know I'm still not quite there, but he shared his heart with me, and I treasure that moment. do you really have the desire to evangelize? Because if you do, God will make the way. He did for Philip. He got him in the right place at the right time. He had the guy thinking about the right thing. He had him asking the right questions. And he even gave Philip the right answers. He supplied the water so that he could be baptized. And then he got him back where he needed to be at the blink of an eye. Can God not supply for us in the same ways? Amen. Do you have a heart to evangelize? God will unleash his power if you do. The next one, we notice that the Ethiopian had a desire to know. Guys, we can't put desire in people's hearts, but we should go fishing to see if they've got it. And if they do, the power of God will bring everything together. If they don't have the desire yet, do we just give up on them? We pray for the power of God to put that desire in their hearts. Amen? We're here because God put a desire in our heart. Amen? God can do it for them too. We also see that God has a desire to save the lost, doesn't he? So he'll move heaven and earth to make sure that that message gets to them if we're just willing to work with him. And then the question comes down to, do we have the same desire he has? We will have the same desire if his power, his Holy Spirit, lives in us. Does his Holy Spirit live in you today? I pray he does. Only you know. No one else can judge this. Only you know. But I can assure you, if the power of God, if the Holy Spirit of God lives in you, it is a guarantee that you're saved. If you're wondering, am I really saved? How can I really know? You can know if the Holy Spirit lives in you. If the Holy Spirit doesn't live in you, or you're not really sure, then I would suggest you might want to make a trip to the altar this morning and pray and ask him to help you. Help you to understand what the problem is, or to just recommit your life to the Lord. Or maybe it might be that you need to submit to him for the first time unto salvation today. And the way that looks is you actually just admit you're a sinner. You confess it before him. You ask him to forgive you and to cover you with the precious blood of Jesus. But I can assure you, if it's for real and you really get saved, stuff's going to start changing in your life, because God don't move in secretly. Can I get an amen to that? The day he moved into me, I knew something was different. I knew some stuff was going to have to change, and it was actually a little bit on the scary side. But I have come to walk with the Lord long enough to know if he's changing something in me, it's for my good. Can I get an amen to that? How many of you have been changed by the Spirit of God? Man, as he changes you, you can just take joy in the fact if he's taking something away, it's because he's got something better to give you. Amen? And so that's the way God works. He's awesome. The question is, will you trust him today? Maybe you got some horrible sin in your life that nobody else knows about, and you're hoping they don't find out about it. You may be sitting there today thinking, well, God can't really save me because I got this mess here. I just want you to know, you come as you are and God will help you. You turn it over to him and he'll give you the power to overcome. You turn it over to him and he most definitely will not turn you away. And I don't know if that's something he'll want you to confess to others. That's neither here nor there. He'll lead you in that, and he'll give you what you need for that. The main thing is you need to confess it to him. Let him help you. Let me pray for you, and then we're going to have a final song, and we're going to open the altar for anybody that wants to come. Dear God, we just want to lift ourselves up to you. Lord, first prayer, I'm going to pray for everybody, as if there's anybody here that hasn't really trusted Jesus unto salvation, today would be the day. Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they would surrender their heart to you, confess their sins, call on you for salvation, because they believe you are the one and the only one who can save them. Lord, if we've already met that point in our lives, then I pray for each and every person that's in this place that if the Holy Spirit lives in us, we'll start living for you and obeying you immediately, letting you work out the timing. You're the God who's already connecting the dots. And we're one of those dots in that picture. And you want to connect us with other dots. And just like we were reading in Hebrews chapter 12 or chapter 11 today in our youth Sunday school, the whole picture isn't complete until we're all in heaven together. But Lord, what we know is if we're yours, you want to use us to connect some more of those dots. So God, let me surrender to you today wholeheartedly. Use me, Lord. Use us. Every person that's in this room who claims a faith in you, may we surrender to you so you can use us. Lord, bring people to yourself through us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.